As the scriptures that Matthew just read indicate, light is contrasted with darkness. No doubt two symbols that represent the darkness, of course, representing sin. We see that metaphor used many, many times in Scripture. The light representing the salvation of God and the truth of God. We often, as Americans, will even say we have seen the light. And what we mean by that is we see the truth. And so even in our own nation, we use it metaphorically to talk about seeing truth. And so epiphany is a word that is associated with light, meaning the revelation or the truth, seeing the truth of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we celebrate this because, and I really like how we as Presbyterians do this, we celebrate this arrival of the wise men or the Magi, or Magi. We celebrate the arrival of the wise men to Jesus Christ's place of residence after Christmas, because the Magi did not come to see Christ until he was a year old. I know a lot of times we put that into our Christmas plays, and so as a result we have people believing, because a lot of them don't really look at the scripture really well, we have people believing that the wise men showed up at the manger. And they did not. They were about a year or year and a half later, they came to the house to visit Christ. And interestingly enough, the gifts that they presented to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh, would pay for Mary and Joseph and Christ himself's trip to Egypt, as they had to flee the nation to get away from Herod's edict to kill all males 2 years and under, because he was afraid that the legitimate king of Israel had been born, and he was actually placed there by the Roman government and was really not the heir to the throne, but actually bought his way onto the throne. And so his lust for power and his lust for glory caused him to be fearful and to command those babies to be killed just to try to save his position. Well, Mary and Joseph were warned about that by God, and they fled to Egypt. They were told to leave the area, leave the nation, and go to Egypt for a while. Well, they were very poor, so how do you think that they paid for the trip? It was the gifts that the wise men gave them that God used to pay for their trip there and back when it was time for them to come. We know they were very poor, for an example, because on the eighth day after Christ's circumcision, they went to the temple and Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice of turtle doves, pair of turtle doves, or a pair of pigeons to the Lord. Well, that was a sacrifice that God required of poor people. We go into Leviticus chapter 1. It tells us about three social statuses. Leviticus chapter 1 tells us that bulls or oxen were to be offered by those that were considered rich in society. Sheep or lamb or a goat was to be offered by those that were middle class, and the poor was to offer turtle doves or pigeons. And so, being a very poor family, they needed a way to fund their trip. God provided that through the gifts of the Magi. And that's important, that we understand that how God plans everything. Nothing is by happenstance. Nothing is by mistake. They just didn't show up there and thought, oh, it'd be a nice gesture. God put that on their hearts because God knew the need that lay ahead. And we need to understand that God knows our needs as well. So as we celebrate Epiphany and we focus on that, there's another scripture that is, it correlates to it. It's in connection to Epiphany. It's in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, because Epiphany focuses on the light, the revelation of God. Isaiah says, long before God's light ever came, that it would come. Isaiah says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense. They shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. You know, as we said just a moment ago, Epiphany celebrates the revelation of Christ to the Magi and ultimately to the Gentile world. The wise men or the Magi journeyed many miles following a star until it rested over the Christ child in Bethlehem. And there they offered Christ gifts worthy of a king. A Savior and a King who was prophesied many, many years ago, who would come to provide for His people, defend the poor, deliver the needy, crush the oppressor, and ultimately bring peace. Not the peace that the world thought of as peace, but a peace that goes far greater than any war, far greater than any conflict, but a peace of eternal salvation for the soul. To have that war of sin diminished. That would be the peace he would bring. Isaiah's prophecies concern both the judgment and redemption of God's people. And although God would pour out his judgment due to their idolatry and wickedness, he would also send them a light, Isaiah says, to guide them through the darkness. Then Isaiah revealed the events that would transpire upon the arrival of his light, upon the arrival of God's light. He says in verse 6, "They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, praises of the Lord." The exact gifts and actions of the Magi who came to visit Jesus. Isaiah's prophecy parallels perfectly with Matthew's account. Jesus is the light of the world. This means, of course, that he is the illuminator and the guide into all spiritual truth. Jesus is light. He is that light that was prophesied by Isaiah to come. He's called their light because he would come to this world and would become a man, a human being from the Jewish race. Isaiah is telling them, God's light will arise among them. But his light is not just for them only. Isaiah says, all nations will come to your light. A clear Old Testament prophecy that the Gentiles also would come to salvation. You see, we were not an afterthought of God. We were always in the plan of God. God always planned to call people to salvation from all races, all nations, all kindred and all tongues. It was not for the Jews exclusively. Simply, they were just the initiators of it. Those that God chose from the beginning to be the start. But they most certainly are not the end. And we have hope, because God's light has shined upon us. You know, in the story, though, of the Magi, have you ever thought about the star? About the light that led the Magi to the light? God used a light that he created, a physical light, to guide them to Jesus, the spiritual light. Don't you think that's amazing? Now, for them, you know, they were into astronomy and astrology too. But nonetheless, they were into looking at the stars and looking at the things of the heavens, something that we still do today, something that they passed down through their legacy, this nation where these wise men came from. It's interesting, they follow this star. God uses a star, a light that He created to lead them to the spiritual light, Jesus Christ. A star. While the Bible clearly hails Jesus as the light of the world, Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 that believers are also the light of the world. Now that's interesting that Jesus is the light of the world, but yet He says we're the light of the world. Well, John may help us understand this a little better as he explained in chapter 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. You see, just as God used a physical light to lead the Magi to the Savior, He uses believers today as spiritual lights. Physical lights they are because they're created to lead non-believers to the Savior today. Don't you find that interesting? That God had already through that. And we can look at it that way because the Old Testament makes it very clear, Hebrews does, that the Old Testament was a shadow of the things to come. That means the things that were enacted out in the Old Testament were meant to point to spiritual things. They were symbols of that. For example, they sacrificed animals and that pointed to what? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They worshipped God outwardly and physically, and what was that to point to? The spiritual aspects of God and the things that He has done for humankind that we celebrate through our actions. And here in this story, He has a star, a guide. Now we need to understand that very clearly as we are called the light of the world as well. And we are these physical lights that God has created to lead people to the Savior. And Paul affirms it in Philippians 2:15. He says, "You are the children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." As we look at that, we need to understand that we personally are not responsible for anyone's salvation. We do not save anybody. We do not have the power to save anyone. Any man or any woman that thinks they have the ability to save people from sin are truly, sadly mistaken. Because Jesus Christ said He was the one true, only sacrifice for sin. That He was the Savior of the world, not any man or woman. And as understanding that, we should realize that when we say we're lights, we are just simply guides. We are simply revelators of the true light. We do not save people. Their salvation is not contingent on whether we go to them or not go to them. If God determines for someone to be saved, they will be. But God uses us as witnesses and guides to Himself. Just like that star. That star couldn't make those wise men follow it, could it? That star couldn't do a thing. All that star could do was just move to where it needed to move and be where it needed to be. And then people followed it. But it couldn't make them do that. There was not some big, strong magnetic force that just pulled them along. That star just simply shined. You see the point today? We can't make anyone follow. We can't pull and drag them to God. Only God can draw men and women to Himself. All our job is to do as a church and as a Christian individually is just to shine. Now what that means is we live for God. It matters how we live because that is the light that the Bible's talking about. That is the witness that we are to be. It's through our actions. We act out what we have on the inside. It comes on the outside. And so the way we live is important because that is our witness. Our witness for God to the world. Our light shining out here in this dark place. Friends, we've been called to be lights to the world. Unfortunately, many of us, we're not as bright as we should be. We let the world get to us. We say things and do things and act ways that are more like darkness than light. But may we learn from this star that guided the wise men. We just need to move and shine. Don't stay in that place, but just continue to move. And just shine for God. Be a guide to the Savior so that the true light can light the way.